Matthew chapter 13, and we'll look at verses 11 and 12. And I'm not sure if I mentioned this on Sunday or not, but I really enjoyed Matt and Don's sermons while I was gone. If you haven't heard those, you need to look them up. Amen. They'll help you. Praise God. And you got to hear to be healed. Hear and be healed. That's what Matthew talked about. And again, a lot of good points in both their sermons. The one thing, a lot of things stood out, Don, but you were talking about the difference between praying and saying. Man, that's good stuff. Amen. Sometimes I need to pray. Sometimes I need to say. Amen. And if you get confused on that, you're not going to get the results that you could otherwise be enjoying. And that's the thing about prayer. Things are better when we pray. And if you agree with that, then they're not when we don't. You know, so it's got to be the prayer. And then we've also got to speak to some things. And so anyway, we're excited about that. So you're in Matthew 13. Let me just set this up. We're still talking about, believe it or not, Isaiah 55. There's a lot of things that we're going to come back to. But in Isaiah 55, the word of God to us is, listen carefully, God speaking, listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. So he's talking about that inward man being fed. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. But what we see in the scriptures is that having an ear to hear God is not automatic. In other words, you have to have the right attitude in your heart towards God to be able to hear God. And you look at the earthly life and ministry of Jesus, there were a lot of religious leaders who ultimately were behind his crucifixion that heard most everything he had to say. At least they heard the words coming out of his mouth, but they never had an ear to hear it because they were listening to find something to disagree with rather than with an open heart to learn and ultimately recognize that he was truly their Messiah. And so Jesus discusses this in Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, he answered and said to them, the disciples, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, we've already done a fair amount of teaching from these verses, and I'm not going to try to go back and rehearse or review all of that. But what Jesus is referring to someone having is a ready heart or an open heart or a willing heart. He's talking about the attitude of the heart towards him that would enable them or position them, or we've even used the word qualify them, to be given the ability to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And the bigger picture of the context of the verse is Jesus teaches a parable, and the disciples talk to him about it later, and they're like, why do you always share parables? And he says, I share parables to the multitudes because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. But again, there is some exclusivity there, but not on God's part. Jesus wants them all to know. He wants them all to have the ability to know the mysteries of the kingdom, just like he wants all of us to have the ability to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. But he's teaching in parables to try to bring people to a position where they're ready to hear. Now, that part, and I'm going to make another run at it tonight. I'm still not sure I've really got what's in my heart out of my mouth about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord, I think, is going to help us tonight. I know he is. I believe he is. To really, I think, kind of dig down into that a little deeper. And I'm going to say some things tonight that some of you have probably heard before. And I do that strategically because I'm wanting to button some things together, connect some things together tonight that I think will, in the end, really add meaning and depth of meaning to what it means to be given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. All right. You in agreement with me? You believing with me? All right. So let's start simple. All right. Understanding how something works gives you an advantage. Amen. Would you agree with that? Just as not understanding how something works would put you at a disadvantage. And this is true for natural things. If you've never seen a game of checkers and you don't know how it works or how to do it, well, then anybody who does know checkers is probably going to clean your clock, all right? Because you're at a disadvantage. You don't know how it works. You don't know the rules of the game or that govern the game. And so understanding how something works gives you an advantage. If how it works is a mystery to you, meaning you don't understand how it works, it's a mystery, then you're at a disadvantage. Now, this is true for natural things, and it's also true for spiritual things. Now, Proverbs 25 and 2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." Now, you think a king, I'm not a king. Well, the Bible says you are. If you're a born again believer, you're kings and priests unto our God. And we see, let me put another verse up. And I'm going to say a lot of things tonight that just one slide could be a series of sermons, you know, built around it. But I'm trying to connect some things together more than exhaustively teach on a whole bunch of things. So Proverbs 25 and 2, obviously that's First Testament. Glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." So I believe what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 2 and 7 ties in with what Jesus was referring to in Matthew chapter 13. These are things, by the way, the Bible says that Jesus revealed to us that had been kept a mystery, had been kept a secret from the foundations of the world. You know, everybody's looking for inside information. Everybody's wanting to try to get a leg up on everybody else by knowing something that other people don't know, okay? And we see, again, to know how something works gives us an advantage. But I'm trying to show you, again, a bigger picture here, because God has intentionally hidden some things not from us, but he's hidden them for us. There's a difference. You hide something from someone that you do not want to access it. You hide it for those that you do want to have access to it. And the example that I've used over the years is a key to your house. You hide a key outside your house from people you don't want to be able to get into your house, but you hide it for maybe your children who might come home on the school bus and you're not there and left their key in their locker or something like that. So you've hidden that key for them, but from others. Are you seeing the difference between for and from? And so we see that God has hidden his wisdom for us. And that would include, obviously, the wisdom or the things pertaining to his kingdom. And notice that it's been hidden for us to search out, and it's hidden for our glory. And so when we talk about the glory of a thing, we're talking about that thing operating at its highest and best. So we know from Jeremiah that the way of man is not found within him, meaning the programming, so to speak, that we need to live the optimal life that God created us to live. We're not born with that. We have to get it from an outside source. And of course, that outside source is none other than capital O, capital S, God, outside source. Amen. He has the wisdom that we need, the understanding that we need. But as long as his wisdom remains a mystery to us, we're not going to be able to take advantage of it or benefit from it. All right. So notice, if it's hidden for us, it's going to require effort on our part to search it out. And to be one who seeks, and I mean, we could preach and have preached over the years a series of sermons on seeking the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 11:6 confirms that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So I believe as human beings, we are hardwired for searching out mysteries. We are hardwired for searching out mysteries. Are you following me? If you enjoy solving a crossword puzzle, again, you've got a puzzle that you're trying to solve. It's a mystery. You're trying to fill in all those little squares or whatever. Anything from something being that simple to the great mysteries of life. Amen. We want to understand our origin. We want to understand our purpose. We want to understand these things. And of course, you know, we're in this relentless search for this information, but ultimately we've got to discover it and learn it from God Himself. Now, stay with me. Praise God. I'm going to try to move even a little faster than I'm moving right now. God's plan from before the beginning, in other words, before He ever created Adam, was for you and me to rule and reign in life together with Him. Thank you for those amens. Amen. I'm glad that's not the first time some of you have ever heard that. God's plan from before the beginning was for you and me to rule and reign in life together with Him. And if God ever sets His heart and mind to do something, He's going to see it through to completion no matter how long it takes and no matter how much it costs. Now, what we also know, again, broad strokes tonight, we lost our ability to rule and reign in life when Adam sinned. Because the Bible teaches that when he sinned, we were all in him in seed form. And when Adam sinned, we all sinned with him. So the Bible's very clear about it in Romans 5. It was not your sin that made you a sinner. I'm not saying you haven't sinned. I'm not saying that I haven't sinned. But it was not your sin that made you a sinner. It was Adam's sin that caused us to have the nature of a sinner. Now, good news is Jesus came, and He's even referred to as the last Adam. Jesus came to restore to us everything that was lost by Adam's fall. And we see this in Romans 5 and 17. And again, all of these could be sermon series. I'm just going to mention a few key verses along the way. Romans 5 and 17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." So our salvation was not just fire insurance to keep us from going to a devil's hell. Our salvation was meant to make us right before God in the eyes of God, to restore us into right standing and fellowship with God, to once again enable us to rule and reign in life together with God. Now let's keep going. Jesus came to the earth and brought His kingdom with Him. Because when we talk about ruling and reigning in life, I mean, again, this appeals to people who don't know anything about God. No, we are hardwired for victory. No, nobody likes to lose. Nobody tries really hard to lose. Nobody's like, "Man, I wonder, you know, what I can do today to just be a complete loser and failure." No, we're hardwired to win. And we live vicariously. We identify with winners. We talk about if our team wins, we won, and all this other stuff. You know, we never played a lick of it in our lives, okay? And so then the question is, all right, so if this is true about ruling and reigning in life, and ruling and reigning not over people, but over Satan, over circumstances, over situations, over the curse, and this is what I mean by ruling and reigning. The question then is, okay, how do we effectively do that? Sounds good to me. Sign me up. How do we do it? All right, I'm glad you asked. So Jesus came to the earth, and when He came, He brought His kingdom with Him. Now, some of the things that I'm about to share with you are things that we spend almost 3 hours in discipleship class breaking down. I'm going to try to do it in 3 minutes, okay? Maybe longer than that, 13 minutes. Maybe let's add another digit there, okay? But this is important. Jesus came to the earth, and He brought His kingdom with Him. Now, you might recognize this slide from a Sunday morning sermon about 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. I modified it just a little bit. Father's plan for you includes get you into His kingdom. Lots of verses that speak to that, but John chapter 3, verse 5 is where it's stated most clearly. get you into his kingdom, John 3, verse 5, give you his kingdom. That's Luke 12, 32. And then put his kingdom in you. Luke 17 and 2. All right? Now, I teach this to people all the time who've never heard anything like this in their lives. Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons we spend so much time on it in discipleship class. Because there's so many people, even, you know, I sometimes will ask, how many of you are raised in church, you know, and raise your hand and say, how many of you are raised in church and never heard any of this taught to you before in your life? And it's amazing to me the number of hands that go up. And there are some who think that the teaching about the kingdom of God on the earth is some kind of auxiliary or extreme or side. No, no. It's mainstream. It's central. It's of the utmost importance. And so, again, if we were going to stay here to midnight, I would show you in the scriptures. But again, this is God's plan. Get you into his kingdom. How do you get in? You're born into it. You're born again. You're born into the kingdom. Then once he gets you into the kingdom, you qualify to be given the kingdom. He gives you his kingdom. It's his good pleasure even. It's what it says in Luke 12 and 32. And then in Luke 17, he says that he then puts that kingdom in you. So we're in the kingdom and the kingdom is in us. We're in the kingdom and the kingdom is in us. We're in the kingdom and the kingdom is in us. We need to become more kingdom minded. Okay. Now here's the part that separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls. Okay. Is that he wants to do all of this while we're still here on the earth. So many in the body of Christ, what they understand about heaven is where you go when you die if you are a Christian. That's what they think. And some of the greatest confusion in the body of Christ involves what Jesus taught us about entering the kingdom. So many in the body of Christ, when they read entering the kingdom, they think it means going to heaven when you die, or if you're alive when Jesus comes back, going by way of rapture. No, no. You enter the kingdom when you're born again. I believe there's a rapture and a heaven to go to. I believe that, my grandparents, other relatives, loved ones, people, family, faith here that have passed, absent from the body, present with the Lord. In other words, I believe heaven is a real place. And I have to state that because there's some who don't believe that. But the Bible's very clear. Heaven is a real place. I believe that. But entering the kingdom and going to heaven when you die is not the same thing. We enter the kingdom when we're born again. So again, while still here on this earth, Father's plan for you and me is get us into the kingdom. Get the kingdom in us and then, enter the kingdom, give the kingdom to us, and then put the kingdom in us. You still with me now? This is important. Let's say another way. So many in the body of Christ are obsessed with getting into heaven, and that's how they understand what salvation is about. It's about getting them into heaven. God's perspective on salvation is about getting heaven into you while you're here on the earth. While you're here on the earth. Now, would it surprise you if I told you that Jesus taught more about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven than any other subject? That's the truth. I mean, it's not even close. The kingdom was his first message. It was his final message. And it was his most frequent message. Almost every single time he opened his mouth, he was saying something about the kingdom. And a lot of those times, it began something like this. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. Right? And then he would talk about something on the earth that we understand to try to help us make the leap of faith over into the spiritual understanding of his Father's kingdom and how that kingdom works. And what that kingdom can produce. Let me give you an example. Acts chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. If you don't know this, Luke was a physician, a medical doctor. He wrote the gospel that bears his name, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And so when he refers to the former account, he's talking about the gospel account. And now he is beginning to the Acts of the Apostles and what happened in the days and years after Jesus had been raised from the dead and ascended up to the Father's right hand. And so when he says, until the day in which he was taken up, this is referring to when Jesus was ascended to the throne of the universe, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So we'll celebrate Jesus' resurrection this coming Sunday. We celebrate it every day. Amen. But we'll also be celebrating our resurrection because the Bible says we were raised up together with him to newness of life. But what a lot of people don't realize is that Jesus didn't just like say, here I am, boys, and then disappear. He remained on the earth in a glorified body for 40 days and was seen by many people. Eyewitness testimony even declares that in one sitting he was seen and presented himself and spoke to hundreds of people. Okay. And so the question then is, what was Jesus doing during those 40 days before he ascended to the throne of the universe? Well, you got it right here. He was giving commandments to those whom he had chosen, presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and doing what? And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. After his death, burial, and resurrection, he's still teaching and talking about the kingdom. Do you see why this is not a side teaching? This is not, you know, for the hyper faith crowd or whatever. This, if Jesus was to walk in here this evening, I would just about guarantee you and teach us for an hour, he would say something about the kingdom. That's how important it is. That's how critically important it is. So I'm building to a point, so just stay with me. So Jesus taught us about the kingdom's ways, the kingdom's culture, the kingdom's authority, and resources to prepare us for life in his kingdom. I gotta go back. Thank you, Lord. It just keeps bouncing up in my spirit. So let's go back. Imagine for a moment that you're stuck on an island, deserted island. You want off the island. Okay. I call it the island where nothing ever changes. And you want off the island where nothing ever changes. Okay. And so God sends a boat to get you off the island where nothing ever changes. And if you look closely at what's written on the back of that boat, it's the wisdom of God. Okay. Now, I want you to picture for a moment that you're standing on the dock and the boat to rescue you from the island where nothing ever changes, it comes by. It's going real fast. It slows way down. It comes by that dock, but it never stops and it never fully docks. It passes, revs up the engine, makes another loop fast, then comes back, slows down again. Right? That's what a parable does. A parable brings the wisdom of God close and slows it way down. But it can't dock because it's still spirit and life. It's not the same substance as that island you're standing on where nothing ever changes. So if you're going to get in the boat, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to take a leap of faith. You're going to have to time it, Wally, and you're going to have to, I bet you've jumped in some moving boats over the years, hadn't you, brother? Or driving them, wanting somebody else to jump in, right? You're going to have to take a, that's what a parable does. Still requires faith. If you're going to do it God's way. Are you hearing me now? So that was for everybody, but that was for somebody very, very specific. I know the Holy Spirit just kept prompting me to share that part. So Jesus taught us about the kingdom. Every time he opened his mouth, something about the kingdom, the ways of the kingdom, the culture, how things work in the kingdom, the authority of his Father's kingdom, the resources. Why is he telling us all of this? He's telling us all these things because he's trying to prepare us for life in his kingdom. Again, life in his kingdom while we live here on the earth. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Are you following me now? Let me see if I can make it even simpler. Simply put, Jesus wants us to understand his kingdom so we can live effectively in and from his kingdom. Jesus revealed an essential connection between the presence of his kingdom and his will being carried out on the earth as it is in heaven. Anybody remember that prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Where, if we're standing here praying to our Father who art in heaven, where are we? We're on the earth praying to our Father in heaven. We're asking for his kingdom to be present with power so that his will can be done here on the earth. This may be very simple, but don't miss it. We need the kingdom of God to do the will of God. Too many of God's people are still clueless about his kingdom. They do not know how to live this life in, from, and through his kingdom. When I say this life, I'm talking about life on this side of heaven. There's coming a day, my brother and sister, when we're going to live there. But see, now watch this. Part of what this earth life is about right now is preparing us for what's next. And so much of what we do and so much of the progress that we make down here is going to determine where we start once we get there. Father God's entrusting us with certain things here, right? So that we can use those things to learn and grow and develop, not in the ways of this world, not in the ways of man, but in the ways of God's kingdom. My friend, the kingdom of God functions there just like it functions here. Are you understand what I'm saying? In other words, Jesus did a lot of things that we would think would, you know, happen in heaven, of course, But it happened here because he was operating in, from, and through his Father's kingdom here. Some people, and I know maybe a little corny, they say we're training for reigning. Well, yes and no. But in other words, the only way to train to reign is to start reigning now. Reigning's not for later, reigning's for now. So when I say we need the kingdom to do the will of God, that's why God put you in the kingdom, gave you the kingdom, and put the kingdom in you. So that you could then go and do the will of God, destroy the works of the devil. I'm going to say it again. Too many of God's people are still clueless about his kingdom. They do not know how to live this life, when I say this life, on this side of heaven, in, from, and through the kingdom. For many of God's people, the kingdom and how to function in it and from it remains a... Do you see that? Still a mystery. Do you see why I did all this? Because where'd we start tonight? It's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it's not been given. So what does he do? He keeps slowing the boat down and bringing it close. He keeps telling them parable after parable after parable after parable. Remember, the man who heard the sayings of Jesus but did not do them continued to do something. He continued to do it the way he'd always done it. Jesus was offering him a new way of doing it, the way of the kingdom. Are you following me? When Jesus says, he who hears these sayings of mine and does them, well, what are the sayings of Jesus? Obviously, he's teaching us about kingdom ways, kingdom culture, kingdom living, kingdom life, how to do things the way they do them in heaven right now. We can go ahead and start doing them right here on the earth and get the same results on earth as they're getting in heaven by doing in the ways of heaven. I get stirred up about this. Far too many of God's people, for many of God's people, the kingdom and how to function in it and from it remains a mystery. Doesn't mean they're not saved. Remains a mystery. All right, just in case you need a little evidence on that, one can live in the Spirit but not walk in the Spirit. Galatians teaches us that, does it not? He says, if we live in the Spirit, then let's learn how to walk in what we live in. Okay? So one can be given the measure of faith, but not live by faith. You can be given the measure of faith. Romans 12:3, God's dealt to every person the measure of faith. You can be given the measure of faith, but that doesn't mean you automatically live by faith. A lot of people who've been given the measure of faith still walk by sight. One can be a son or daughter of the King, but still live like a slave. That's Galatians 4:1. Are you seeing where we're going with this, right? One can be made free by God, but still live in bondage to sin. Romans 6. Are you still with me? So if all that, then let's go to this one. One can be in the kingdom, be given the kingdom, and have the kingdom in them, and still live as if none of these are true. So what? We must be taught the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. No other way. This is something the Lord has to teach us. Okay? Now, I usually don't put the notes up, but here's the notes. It might be easier for you to look and follow along. When we talk about kingdom ways, we're talking about how to do things the way they do them in the kingdom. Are you following me? It's deeper in my notes. I don't know if you've ever, just Mark McClellan's one of my heroes, just hadn't been born again that long and just loved Jesus and wanted to do something for him. And next thing you know, he's heading off to ultimately Honduras and School of Harvesters. But in case you don't know this, they speak Spanish down there. And Mark only spoke English in those days. Are you following what I'm saying? So he went first to the language school in Costa Rica. And he talked, probably let him tell the story better than himself, but just one of the parts, Mark, that really stuck out to me was when you was talking about, guess what, you get hungry. Now you got to try to figure out how to order food in a language, watch this now, that's still a mystery to you. If you don't know Spanish and you hear somebody speaking in Spanish, 90% or better of what they're saying is a mystery to you. No idea. Okay, right? Well, Mark is smarter than the average bear, and of course the Lord helping him, he learned Spanish very quickly, fluent in it to this day. Okay. Notice, once the language was no longer a mystery to him, how much more effective he was, not just in living and surviving, but in flourishing and ultimately preaching and winning thousands of people to Jesus. Teaching other people to win people to Jesus. Are you seeing this, right? But as long as that language was a mystery, we talk about the kingdom now. You understand there's kingdom language. I'm not talking about Christianese. I'm not talking about religious mumbo jumbo. I'm talking about there's a way people talk in the kingdom. When we talk about in the kingdom, we're talking about something much deeper than a different language or what side of the road you drive on. Again, that's a cultural thing, right? You go to other, like, I wouldn't do it even if they drove on the same side of the road over here. But when I'm in Kenya, the traffic over there and then they drive on the opposite side of the road. I mean, it's the strangest thing. It's left on red now. All I've ever known is right on red. Are you following what I'm saying? Amen. Well, see, that's the way they do it there. That's the way they do it there. So we talk about in the kingdom. So again, when we're talking about kingdom ways, we're talking about how to do things the way they do them, the way they're done in the kingdom. We talk about kingdom culture. We're talking about how to live like a citizen of the kingdom. Let's start with faith, hope, and love, right? That's the, amen. When we talk about kingdom authority, we're talking about how to bind and loose, effectively use the authority of the kingdom. And I could get all poetic on you for the betterment of mankind, but I'm talking about to build our Father's kingdom. Kingdom resources. How to access and appropriate what belongs to us and is already in us. Let's go back to Matthew 13, verse 52, the Message translation. He who is perfectly trained in the kingdom is like the owner of a general store who can put his hand on anything that anybody needs anytime they need it. This is what Jesus is trying to teach us how to do. Oh, sweet Jesus. To be taught the mysteries of the kingdom, we must be given the ability to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So we've got to be taught this. But even to be in a position to be taught this, you've got to first be given the ability. You say, well, why don't God just give it? It's not up to him. It's up to us. All right. Now, I'm winding down. Perhaps now we're in a better position from our current study to understand what Jesus meant when he said, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Do you see the value of this? Do you see now what Jesus was saying? This isn't just like, okay, guys, I'm going to let you in on a few things that other people don't know about. You've been good. I'm going to throw you a bone. You know, you guys hung around, so I'm going to tell you a few things that other people don't know. That's not what this, we're talking about something way more than this. We're talking about how to say to a crippled man, it's not my money that you need anyway, but such as I have in the name of Jesus, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk and grab him by the hand and jerk him up to his feet. That's kingdom. That's kingdom ways. That's kingdom resources. That's kingdom culture. That's kingdom authority. That's kingdom. Are you understand what I'm saying? 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, if it begins with now, it's going to say now. Tomorrow, it's going to say now. 5 years from now. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Jesus lived on earth while residing in his Father's kingdom and operating from it. Jesus was in the world, but he was not of the world. The same is true of every born-again believer. Jesus said, if you see me casting out demons with the finger of God, it can only mean one thing. The kingdom of God has come upon you. Living from the kingdom and operating by its principles and realities produces results in the created realm that cannot be produced with the world's methods. Once again, we need the kingdom of God to do the will of God. In the beginning days of the New Testament, the greatest prophet born of a woman, according to Jesus, was John the Baptist. He preached a simple message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus began his earthly ministry when he turned 30 years old. He preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus sent forth the 12 holy apostles. He told them to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He then sent out first 70 missionaries, and he told them, you guessed it, to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent doesn't mean stop sinning. It means a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at things. Metanoos, a new condition of mind. So many of God's people still think of the kingdom of heaven as being three heavens away. They think of the kingdom as a place and we're in the fog bank of their imagination, in another realm light years away, a place that's difficult to access. They pray into the sky hoping somebody's out there listening when the kingdom is as close as their outstretched hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, still needs to be preached today, even to people who are in the kingdom, have been given the kingdom, and the kingdom resides within them, because many of those who have that same position and that same gift are clueless as to what it means. Stand with me. Praise God. I know that was a lot, and I know that we covered a lot, and I hope it wasn't too much, and I hope it didn't go too fast. This Wednesday night bunch, man, y'all are lightning sharp, amen. When I say feel, I don't live by feelings, I understand that, but I'm talking about in my heart. I've tried to do this, this third Wednesday night, you know, and I was like, Lord, you know, help me. And he's like, well, you need to back up a little bit, because you can't understand why it's so important to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven if you don't understand the value of the kingdom of heaven. Right? Everything that Jesus did on this earth, he did as an ambassador for his Father's kingdom. Amen. It was the government of God, the rule of God, the reign of God, the provision of God, the resources of God, all that. It was breaking through. It was breaking through. Amen. Making a difference in people's lives. He was setting an example for us to look to and learn from and ultimately follow. It's the same kingdom that we're in. It's the same kingdom that we've been given. It's the same kingdom that's in us. Let's go back to where we began. Understanding how things work always gives you an advantage. And this is what Jesus is wanting to teach us. He wanted to teach us how it works. Amen. Father, you're good to us. We love you. Thank you for this time together this evening. Thank you, Father, for your wisdom. Thank you, Father, for your plan, your purpose. Lord, may your plans and your purposes become our pursuits. Father, may we boldly seek for the wisdom that you've hidden for us, for our glory, so that we can live as you created and intended for us to live. Father, not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others around us. We thank you, Lord, for this kingdom. You said, Jesus, it's a kingdom with no end. It's a kingdom that will continue to grow and increase. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we all have to be a part of it. Help us, Lord, to become more and more kingdom-minded men and women. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you again for being here tonight.